Welcome, board members. Appreciate you being here at the ranch. Today's meeting is going to be conducted by Ben Clarkson, and we will try to go through things fairly quickly and leave the balance of our meeting for discussion of things that we'll actually go out on the property and look at. And we had one guest.
Jody Akers,
that we would like to welcome. And I'll now turn the time over to you, Ben, to conduct.
Okay. Let me grab the agenda real quick. Okay. Officially called a meeting to order at just after 1 o'clock here at the Garden Cabin. You already said who was in attendance as far as board members?
No.
Okay, let's review then as far as official board members. Dirk Clayson is president, Ben Clarkson is vice president. Shauna Cox is absent and may show up late. Also Ed Belinsky, Brent Fulmer. So that would constitute a quorum with four board members here present. Also, Paul Brayton is on-site caretaker, and Linda Alderman is agreed to take minutes for this meeting. And yes, Dale Clarkson and Mrs. Akers should return. First item on the agenda is the financial review. Linda, if you'll lead us through that. I think everybody has their papers.
The first paper you should have in there. Oh, I have. Hello, just a moment. Sorry, I'm taking notes. I've been working under our new board president, what a taskmaster. He has inspected the financial workings of the ranch at length. Dirk has also given me the assistance of his secretary to help me clear up some difficulties I've had with the QuickBooks program. I must say I feel like a new woman working with this program now with all this newly acquired knowledge. I put many, many hours into this newfound knowledge and have still many more hours to finish the project the way our new board president wants it, and I think that will be the best way for it to be, actually. The manager's accounts, some of the problems that I have with this first sheet that you have, which is a balance sheet, is that the caretaker's account, the bunkhouse fund, and the other state bank program was incorrect. We didn't use them before, and I didn't keep them up, and now we are getting them in order. So those that have check marks next to them are correct now. I'm not sure what the overpayment for last year is. We're on the balance sheet. I'm not certain what the overpayment for last year is, but that's something I will figure on. And then this trade account, no cash income. I'm not sure how that figures into all of this yet, but I've also added the capital improvement account, which is our savings account under that. And again, that's correct. Those are check marks. The other information on the balance sheet, you can go over and check into. I'm still working on how this all works into the files that I have. So on the next paper that you have in profit and loss,
can you follow that? That's fine.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's five breeding cattle for $4,000.
Yeah, I'm not sure how all of these categories work yet on this balance sheet.
Right. Where it says the cows were sold last fall, those should have been taken off.
Right.
That's where Linda has not. She's been using the checking accounts more and the profit loss a little bit, but that the balance sheet's something we've talked about, and she's trying to get researched and cleaned up. But right now, obviously, when we sold the cows, instead of that being posted and taken off the balance sheet, it was not last fall, and so that's what Dirk and Linda are going back to try to clean those up.
Right.
Lot 259.
Yeah. I know. That's why I say the balance sheet is not the way I want it to, but the check marks are good. so that's taken a lot of work to get those back into order.
We still have a number of things, and
we do.
So this overpayment from last year is a booking, and it's probably something that needs to be removed.
Yeah, I think that's.
And also the trade, no cash. income is probably a booking that needs to be removed. So given that, but and I think the state bank account is pretty close.
It's not close enough on our on the big fund, but that's because I've been taking things out of there and putting them into the other, and
right.
and I mean I've just been doing that in the last 3 days, so there will be some discrepancy compared with the state bank.
Do we have any unpaid bills that are not put into the?
There's a couple, but not enough to make that difference.
Okay, so we're working on clearing up the balance sheet. And I'd like to say Linda's made a lot of progress, and I appreciate her working on it diligently, and we'll continue to make progress on a daily basis until it's tuned up.
Right. It will continue on into next week. On your profit and loss and budget versus actual, that's for you to review and to look at.
Let me ask one question
on
that. And again, I know that some of these are still not 100% accurate because of the way that's posted. And so if you guys keep going, I know what you've been doing the last couple of weeks. By next meeting, these should all be cleaned up. On here, you've got past due assessments, and it shows that we had a budget to collect $12,000. We've collected none. Haven't we collected some past due?
This is what I think has happened. We are not
separating them out.
We're not separating them.
Whether it was this year or a past due. Okay.
Yeah, we have.
So you could easily go back through those postings and say, oh, I know that one was a lump sum for several years past and posted over.
Yeah.
So some of the collection of the $116,000 were past dues, but they weren't posted as such.
And then,
so we can't see it.
Right.
But they will show up in the
revenue.
Finance charges. That should show up in their interest account. This is part of what we collected, because that would be in there.
Right, that's a split. We're going to have to do three splits.
Okay.
On those.
Teach me how to fish, and I'll do it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The next sheet down is the account that's on hold. That used to be the bunkhouse account. That's the account that we have for Fishing Ranch. I just held on to that account. And the sheet after that is the account, is the savings account. Another capital improvement is listed now on this balance sheet as capital improvement account. That's one of your check marks. And that is correct. I cleared that up. And then the next sheet down is the manager's account. Yeah, the manager's account.
And that is 47.
Yes, because there is a check in there that hasn't been cashed yet for Steve, and then I put $500 in it the other day when you guys were in town and you got that stuff. I wanted to put $500 in that, yeah. So that transfers at the top, and then there's a check that hasn't been cashed yet. So that is correct. And then
this is 1670.
Sorry. I know. Then that's
just
QuickBooks and I are still struggling to get along. The regular account shows 41, which is a large discrepancy from what it shows on the balance sheet. And that's why I say I printed these off this morning, the balance sheets and all of these reports off this morning. I'm like, we're still not there, Linda. Yes. It was closer before I started all of this. Anyway, yeah.
How close to that 41 are
you? We're at 41. This is actual. Yeah, this is
well,
actually admin.
That's actual giving what's cleared. Yeah.
Right.
So in theory,
right.
The QuickBooks report will always be more accurate than the bank statement.
But once that's cleared up, in the future, we will never usually need to see the actual copies of the bank statement.
Right.
Because the balance sheet
will be cleared.
But right now,
know for sure what it is, and you can look those over. And if you have any questions on how expenditures are done, they're following there. So the very last sheet is A&R aging, and we'll go over that at the executive meeting. Hold that one aside.
Okay.
I'd like to mention a couple of things if I could. One of the things that I did, and we'll work on more detail, is I went through the existing budget to see out of the unspent items that we had, how are we looking as far as having money towards the end of the year. And roughly, it looks like that we, going through item by item, my best guess is that we need about $24,000 to get us through to the end of the year until we have some additional funds coming in. So, and that would get us through half of the month of January, at least. And so we're probably in pretty good shape financially. We probably have about $10,000 to spare that we can make some decisions with. I also spent some time with our CPA, Niall Willis, to try to understand what do we need to do to minimize our tax consequences and how do we need to structure our budget in the future so that we can take care of capital improvements that are a depreciating item that can't be expensed off, number one, and items that we may need to save some money for to cross the end of the year to go towards projects that are going to take more than 1 year to fund. And we came up with some really good methods to do that. And the best method is our assessments are not a true income. Historically, they've always been categorized as income. Because it hasn't made too much difference. We've not had a lot of tax exposure. I think 2 years ago we had something like a $2,000 federal tax payment. Last year I think we got a refund of $500 or something like that. You know, 2 years ago we went out at the end of the year with about $23,000 cash on hand. Last year $7,000, and that's basically why we were able to get the refund, is because we had less money going out at the end of the year that we had going in. Well, we don't want to have to run our accounting based on we have to always have spent all of our money to avoid paying taxes when we have some projects that we may want to save money for, or we have some projects that you can't expense. So if we built a pavilion or a cabin or ranch corrals or some of these things, they can't be expensed off in that same year. And so therefore we would have a lot of income and no expense to offset, and we would have a high tax liability. And so the way that we can fix that is that we can separate our dues. In our budget next year, we can say, out of everybody's membership dues, so much of it is going to go towards running the ranch, and so much of it is going to go towards capital improvements. And our accountant can then, if we set it up that way in the budget, then it's a traceable item that if an audit's ever done, we'll be clean. And we can then use that money not as income, the portion of the dues that would be associated with capital improvement items, but we'd have to use it for those items. And so it puts a little more ownership on us doing a little better budget in regards to that split. But that's probably a great way to be able to fund things and do capital improvement planning projects without commingling all of our funds in a way that causes us to have a tax liability. So anyway, just be aware of that.
That's what we put this capital improvement accounted for to start with, but we never got anything over there.
It's on the balance sheet.
No, it
wasn't.
But unless we budget, it's not going to. We'll have the tax liability with every dollar we put into that account. And so, budgeting that way and clarifying it that way is a way to make sure that we keep it out of the taxable
I have put $500 from our budget this year into that for against roads, Title V roads.
So, given that we're probably not going to go out the end of the year with a lot of money in our account, we're probably okay this year.
And that's reflected in this.
But I do think Brighton's are running a little tighter ship financially,
mm-hmm.
and that we can try to make sure that we do more capital improvements instead of spending money on
But we're wanting to restructure our budget so that the budget we come up with has to...
has a capital improvement category. And so that we can basically say out of everybody's fees, the $430 that are paid, $434, you know, 75 of them or 85 of your dollars is going to capital improvement and the rest is going to... And we could actually do that with their entire fee if we ever needed to. If we, on the other hand, thought we could run the ranch in some other way, if we had other income sources. And so that's a great way to fund, to use the members' fees as much as we can to fund capital improvements and things like cookouts and horse rides and renting cabins out, all those kind of things that cannot be declared as anything other than income. Would have to have matching expenses. But so far, you know, we need to find a way to switch the ratio so that we're getting more income from other activities and more of the members' contributions are going towards capital improvement. So we'll start this next year with this next budget, at least trying to say 10% of our budget or 20% to try to make it go that way.
Makes sense.
Good idea.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions on the financial review? If not, we will move. Next, we should have a report on facilities and buildings from John Harris, who was not able to attend and is excused. And
he did
so,
have one item he wanted us to bring up.
Okay.
I think I put it there. Is it on the...
Yeah, cabin
door, doors here.
Cabin six repair doors.
Yeah.
He has a friend that's going to...
No, we have a member, Brad Bull. He's going to be a doorman, and that's what he did for a profession. And he's going to come up with materials and replace the doors in cabin six. I think $350 is something that came to mind as the cost of
$350 if they're a wood... $600 if they're metal.
Right.
And I wondered why. I mean, I know most of the doors that we're using now in houses are fiberglass material rather than real wood. And they're, you know, in the same price range as the wood doors. But I think they weather a lot better.
Hold up,
Jenna.
Are these just in cabin 6?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The 9 means a door.
The doors on cabin 6 are like this.
Good. Heavy old doors that came with the building.
Yeah, and I've got some fiberglass doors with windows in it like that. They're double hung.
Well, I don't know if he's talking wood and has to cut them down a little bit.
But the fiberglass cuts down just like
wood.
Right.
It's a wood door with a thermal true
right.
with fiberglass skin that you can stain or paint.
So I think we ought to at least ask him that question. If he's
so who's in contact with
them?
John Harris or Brent? Are you
with that?
Who's
Ben?
I think John is. I've talked to both of them, and actually I measured those door jams last year. And we were supposed to work on it, but it just never happened. I guess he got busy, I think he's coming up in a couple weeks and he's planning on.
That was part of what I included as holding expenses for in the $24,000. So I think we should basically approve it. I'd make a motion to approve that with the suggestion that they also look into the.
Yeah,
I
think if we can have them, again, with the internet email, this is the door we're looking at, and we try to all agree on one that's going to be the exterior door for Deer Springs Ranch for the next 10 years. And so every time we do buy one, we get a consistent one that is got good weather stripping and good threshold and you know, and is good and solid, even if it costs a little bit more.
Right.
Well, I'd like to do that to maintain a consistency. So when we look at hardware issues,
right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, we're using the same kind of door, and then we don't have to stock 14 different hinges and whatever else.
I agree.
So I think we should.
You made a motion on it. I would second that, but we need to count how many we're going to do. How many doors are there? The six.
Well, we're just saying these two for right now. Cabin six, two exterior doors.
There are others that need.
And I would say under John Harris's direction to give him the go ahead to work through that with that suggestion.
Okay. We have a motion, a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. So let's make sure that we get back with John to coordinate. And Paul, if you'll make sure that, you know, if we need to measure something, again, even though it should be able to take off the threshold and cut them down and stuff.
And mention the fiberglass thing.
Now, is somebody going to get together and pick a door and...
I think they
I think the doorman needs to look at it. But Therma-Tru is the, I think the is the name brand that we're talking about.
Now that's the fiberglass one.
Yeah, that's fiberglass.
Okay.
Fiber Classic. Therma-Tru is Fiber Classic.
And it takes paint and it does the whole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Yeah, you actually most of them they do a gel stain, but you can paint it and.
Oh, okay.
It will absorb. Has a wood grain on it.
And, that looks really nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't tell they're not a wood door.
Oh, really?
First appearance.
Well, you know what? We need something that'll last and
hold up
be functional.
Bang into
yeah.
Therma-Tru is in like Therma-Tru.com or
and Therma T R U. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just T R U. Okay. Next on the agenda then is roads and easement review.
And we mentioned before you got there, Shauna, that we switched.
We were talking some stuff there, so.
So we should have Brent do the report on this.
Is this what we're going to talk about?
So for our actual committees and stuff, just for those that are on recording and stuff, it has been discussed and agreed upon, I'm assuming. That we're going to change some assignments, and from here on out, then roads and easements, roads and trails will be Brent Fulmer's responsibility. And that would then have Shauna transfer over and take care of ranch activities. Right?
Right. And so
Brent, will you give an update on the scoot-em-pop?
Not on the scoot-em-pop, sorry.
Yeah,
it should be on everything but the scoot-em-pop.
Yeah, I'm doing everything
while we'll do an executive session.
Yeah.
Okay. What I wanted to talk to you guys about was the was our Title Fives. And I did a review of the Title Fives that we have. And we are paying, I had a discussion with Hugh Wolf last week, and he said there are three reasons why you lose a Title V. You don't use the road. You do any work on it that's outside of what the agreed upon work was, and or you don't pay your fees. Well, we're current on our fees, but we do have at least two roads that we're not using, that we're paying on. And we either need to fix them and start using them, or we ought to just drop them off the, you know, what we're doing. Anyway, one of the roads is this road here, which runs off the Brinkerhoff turnoff.
Give me more of those maps.
Yes, I do.
And runs up to
road number 45.
Yeah.
There's two separate roads.
This one.
The old road up through one, two, and three.
Yeah, right. Okay. Anyway, we have a Title V on that road. The road has apparently been washed out pretty bad. I haven't been on it, and apparently no one over here on the Johnny Brown is using it at all.
Are you talking about this one?
Yes.
The old Val Cram Road.
The Val Cram Road. I call it the Val Cram Road because he's about the
that's
only one.
Only from right. Here to here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, that road is got a real bad erosion spot, hasn't been used in quite a while. No one over there is using it. There is an advantage of keeping it as a alternate escape route for fire.
Right.
But if we're going to keep it, we're going to follow the Title V, we ought to fix it.
Well, I think the only thing, and again, we're talking less than a mile of road, is we need to have the grader run it within its existing disturbance and rebuild the water bars. That's the problem with that road, is the water, at times, people drive through and the water bars getting worn down, and it's low enough in that valley, the water comes right down the road. But
right. If
we ran that each, you know, once a year when we're, you know,
we
at this
should,
point,
maybe. I think we should keep that road.
Okay. And I totally agree. I just think we ought to fix it.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know that, is Val not using it?
As far as I know right now, Val is not using it. He comes in the other direction.
Okay.
And so anyway, I'm just saying that we should fix it. We also have a Title V on the Broad Hollow Jeep Trail. And I don't know if everyone knows where that is. That runs from the turnoff where you go to my place, down past Paul Ford's, and then up Broad Hollow. Up in here.
So it's not on this.
It's not on this map here. Anyway, I don't go to my well very often, but my well is right off that road, and it's, so I do go down there. But anyway, our Title V extends up into this Broad Hollow area our Title V extends up in here, the road kind of goes like this, and then it goes up to about right here where it's washed out. But we're paying Title V on that.
Yeah, that's one we should maintain.
And it's a valuable road to us for firefighting purposes.
Yeah.
But it's completely overgrown, and it's not in, it's really not impassable. Well, you can get through there. And the other thing that Dale and I have discussed, and I've discussed with Hugh Wolf, and I've also discussed with Earl Levanger, is the potential of
going clear the slide,
going all the way over to Slide Canyon, and Dale and I think it would be a great ATV route for members of the ranch to use.
Come across Broad Hollow and just drop off over there.
Into Slide Canyon, yeah.
About to where 13 is, about 228 or something.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we only pay up to about halfway. I mean, that's where our Title V is right now.
What do they charge you?
It's based on acreage, and I
11 cents. Oh. Mine? I can't remember.
But anyway, what I would like to do is make the proposal that we improve, well, we fix what we have already, and then we work to get the permission to push a road all the way over to, and continue the road on all the way over into Slide Canyon.
Okay, now does that have a road number?
No, it doesn't.
Not on our road map yet,
yeah.
Because when he made this, it didn't. Yeah,
right.
We need to get assigned a road number and stuff based off.
Anyway, one of the things that I'd like from you guys, and I'll just do it myself in a real quick way, is I can take that little dozer and go up and clean that road up from my well, which is where it starts getting overgrown, up to where the stopping point is right now.
Okay.
And all I want to do is go up.
Scrape off the middle, you know,
yeah,
where you can see it.
Right, exactly. Just take the weeds down, fix the drain. I got a six-way blade on that thing. I can put a little crown on it, put a little bit of ditch on each side, and call it good.
Good job.
All right. Okay. Anyway, if that's okay with everyone, I'm going to do it.
I think that's great.
Do it.
You
okay.
know, Brent, there's also kind of a road that comes off here and comes up into about here.
Mm-hmm.
Should we also get a Title V on that while we're done?
All of these over here, these roads here that go off of the Broad Hollow to Slide Canyon, a couple of them go quite a ways back. And quite honestly, we use them quite a bit for cutting posts off of. And I don't know if we want to get Title V's on them or not. They don't really go anywhere unless we want to see if we can push them further through. But there's something interesting up here. Another thing that's fairly interesting up here in the end of Broad Hollow, or Fat My Place, and Dale could probably fill everyone in a little bit better, but Larry Clarkson pointed it out to me. There's actually an old road that came around and actually came back up on top that goes down in and connects in there, and that one there is a very intriguing road to me. Now I have absolutely no, and you can actually, we could actually connect where the road goes through my property and then terminates on the BLM land. If we could reconnect that road together so it came back down into Broad Hollow, we could have a pretty nice little loop.
Yeah.
And I have absolutely no problem whatsoever with people driving through my, you know, because it's way away from my house and everything else, won't bother me at all. I have no problem whatsoever of having people use the road to go in and around my place and down Broad Hollow and whatever.
So where the loop is.
What I'm talking about right now is when you come through here, when you come up this way, the road actually continues through my property right here, and it goes right up to here where it terminates on the BLM land.
Where's the? So how do you know where the BLM is exactly?
The right here. The BLM.
Okay.
This
right
is it. Right.
Okay.
Everything here is BLM.
So this is all BLM.
Right.
Okay.
And so anyway, and that's why we'll have to work with them. But there's an old, very old road, and you can barely see the outline, that came at one point in time or another, came up and connected about just like that, right into there. And I think it would be a great ATV road. I mean, for people to take their ATVs and go around and down.
Lots of trees and stuff right in there and see anything.
Yeah, there. Well, this actually here is really clear. We have one area that we'd have to take a few trees out to get down into. But anyway, these are some projects I'd like to actually look at working on this next year, as far as working with the BLM and see if we can extend this road through and work on this. And
I agree, and I think we might want to look at this one just from the standpoint, since we're using it, we want to make sure we can use it.
Right. Oh, that's a good point. But
not that we want to change it a lot or do a lot with it, but
we're talking about the one above.
This one up here.
I'll look at the one.
Look, if there's a fire here, you got one way up this way and one way up that way. This would be another.
But anyway, the other road that Dirk's talking about is this one right here that actually come on. I don't know if this is real. No, it's probably about
goes
right
back
there.
Into the trees.
But anyway, it goes right up here, and it goes almost right into there and terminates.
Right.
And then there's actually three roads that go back.
Yeah, I've been on that one too.
Okay, there's actually three roads that go back in here. In fact, one of them actually comes off here and goes right into here. So anyway, those. But then the other roads. The two roads I was really concerned about is the Valcram Road, that one, the Hollow Road, right. And then the other road that we have that's rarely used, and we really should be running a blade on it if we're going to keep it. It's our biggest Title V expense, and that is the Browns Homestead Road,
right,
that runs from Meadow Canyon over to the Podunk.
That's a beautiful drive.
It's a great drive. Right now it's impassable.
At the lick over here, they have lick
wash. Every time it storms real bad, it's impassable at lick wash. But there's also a very bad washout spot on it right now.
Yeah.
And the only way you can get around it is to get, you have to go all the way, you have to go off the road and around.
Up around the top.
Right.
Yeah, it's not a lick wash, it's just wash to the west of lick wash.
Right, yeah.
That one, would want some of those cement culverts work there?
What I would really like to do is take some of those old cement culverts, and I'd actually like to go over and put them in that wash.
That would be a good thought.
And then fill it in.
Yeah.
Make it so it's passable, so water is going around there.
Runs water almost year round, and so you've got to have something there.
It's always wet, but that to me, this to me is a beautiful road, and we ought to maintain it.
That's the main road you're talking about right
yeah.
here?
Yeah.
It comes across here.
Right. Yeah. And that's our biggest expense.
And so, the view from the top looking up the canyon, that's like it, Happy Valley's
incredible. This is without a doubt my favorite road around here. Okay?
Yep.
And if you haven't been on it, you should go on it. But I wouldn't go on it in anything but an ATV right now because you wouldn't be happy.
Who owns lots 105 and 106?
The BLM.
I see. I was wondering why they're no longer on the private property map.
Yeah. The BLM owns those two lots. I keep asking the BLM guys why they don't come out and use their cabin time.
Are they paying their dues?
They are, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. BLM, on their new maps, that is no longer white.
Is that right?
So I assume that was...
Yeah, those are the two that the Monument bought.
Yeah, they bought it, and I asked the fire guys all the time ago, you know, you guys ought to just come out and use your cabin time and stay in the cabins, and you know, rather than commute back and forth.
How about this road, too? Is it also similar?
It's not as bad a shape because it doesn't cross any big...
Well, actually, it is now impassable because there's one spot that you can't get over, nor anything but an ATV. This one here, but if we ran a blade over it to fill things in.
I think that, again, part of it's just documenting so that if we take some pictures, write a letter, you know, formalize, we have something in the file, next spring, run all these roads at least once. A lot of them have not had a blade on them now for several years. And again, we really need either a backhoe or a bulldozer to go across this lower road and really.
Yeah, well, I like Brent's idea. He's willing to work on it. I'm willing to say use those up and go do it.
Well, and I've got a real commitment from the people over there on the Podunk. They'd like to really help with this.
Yeah.
And so, you know, getting that in there, and you know, we use a little bit of Quikrete and to do the patching on that stuff. We could have an excellent passable.
My only concern, well, the lip wash one and the one before it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now, because we put in a lot of culverts and only wash out. The floods that come down through there are going to tear up a lot of stuff. If we took all of these and laid them so that you had four across those culverts, you'd need four or five of them, and you'll still. I would put it on the uphill side and divert the water so when it's running, you go across it dry, but have a dirt dam that if it blows out once every 5 years, you just push more dirt down off the ground and rebuild.
Yeah, that's a real good idea.
Yeah.
That's a real good idea.
Great.
But anyway, that's all I got on this. I just wanted you guys to be aware.
One other thing I'd like to suggest as you go through this, apparently this road we do not have a Title V on.
You mean here?
Yeah.
No, actually that's on our Title V on the map.
Yeah.
That's on the map.
That's a county road on the map.
But that's.
Do we have a Title V on that?
According to the map that I was given, that is one of our Title V's.
Okay, well.
I think it's a county road.
But it is.
It is also an RS-2477 claimed road.
Yeah, that's also an RS-2477.
Up to the private ground.
Right.
They're the ones that grade it. Ready?
Okay, so if you can kind of double check that.
Okay.
Is that sure an important road too?
That's a terribly important road, and it's critically important to anybody who has property over in Slide Canyon.
Great report.
Okay, thanks, Brent. We'll move on then to communications. Again, Dave Shields, Arizona Communication, has resigned from the board, and so that leaves a vacancy and probably no report there unless there's something you know of, President.
Well, I appreciate Dave's efforts, and so we'll try to appoint some replacement there.
Did Vance send you that information he had on the, and I don't know if you guys have been working on it. He sent it to David Sills and then forwarded it to me, and I don't remember if I forwarded it to you or just told Vance to.
Oh, yes. Matt, there was one thing that we should make a decision on. This map is online, and I have seen a copy of it from Vance Green. The nice thing is, as you kind of move the cursor around, it will actually say who's the lot owner.
It's a county record. It's not. It's
a matter. He's getting it from the county records.
No phone numbers or addresses.
There was some concern mentioned by somebody, I don't know who, or maybe just a thought of a concern, that if you put this on the website, that somebody would maybe feel like their privacy has been violated. But because it is a public record in any case, who owns the lot, you know, I'm sure there's no validity to that. But just in terms of general ranch information, do we want to participate in sharing that? And I, as I've talked to any of the people I have about it, most of them are like, hey, boy, that'd be great to know who my neighbors are, or kind of look at things and say, oh, here's who owns that lot. And
we've come up with that issue before. I mean, the owners and stockholders of Deer Springs Ranch usually has been considered, you know, it's a private thing within the organization that's not published. But again, he hasn't got this information from us. It's public on Kane County website. It's in the courthouse. And I think that you know, just to have a name of who the owner of record is, if somebody doesn't know who they want, they can set up a corporation and have some fictitious corporate name to kind of be a little more anonymous. But I think that he's well within his right. And nothing.
So I think it's a nice tool. And so, you know, I would just say, well, select that one, and but maybe I'd make a motion to allow him to add that to the website.
Isn't it on there now?
No, not.
He made a link over it. We linked over him.
Well, he
I think to put it on the DSRA website so that you know you have it is.
So, I motion as such. Is there a second?
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, motion carried. We will have owner of record names on the map.
Well, one thing I'd like to add is just, as a disclaimer, we ought to put on there, you know, not to be used for advertising purposes or something.
Well, I think the important thing is it says as per Kane County record.
Okay.
So that, you know, if their records are wrong or whatever, then it's not, and they know it didn't come from the board or for the association list. Okay, next we'll go to ranch raising and wildlife, Dirk, whatever you want to go over there or whatever you want to say for our tour later.
Okay, I think I just would maybe mention quickly Hunt's cattle will come off the ranch in about 3 weeks. I wanted to have an update on the Johnson Canyon seeding project. I know there are some concerns to make sure that we clearly lined out what was going to be done, and so here's a report that shows that where things are seated, and the plan that was put in place to try to make sure that the ranch benefits from the activities as well as Johnson as far as the aesthetic improvements that we hope to see and the long-term agriculture improvements that we hope to see and the fire prevention.
So, do we want to read this for the record then? Or review it?
I think we'd probably do this as well and post it or something, but maybe mention that there are I guess I'll just go through just the planting areas quickly. 20 acres in the well field will be planted with Ranger alfalfa. They will irrigate that area, and we'll coordinate and work with them on the 20 acres. The remaining 80 acres in the well field is a dry land with triticale, and 15 acres north of the well field will be triticale. 20 acres at the west entrance would be 4-H kochia, and that should be our first good test plot.
And now that's what they're disking now.
Yes.
Well, there's a disc in the middle, and it's been gone around. I mean, it's just a few acres out there.
So we need to. That is exactly 60 acres in broad hollow with ryegrass. The ryegrass should be a perennial annual mix. 7 acres in a half moon field that would again be irrigated with Ranger alfalfa. 30 to 40 acres in the upper meadow that there part of their trade with us is that they're going to do the work on this, the planning on this, but they're not going to use this. And that will be with the perennial pasture mix, 70 acres in the airstrip with the west side of the airstrip with triticale, and 70 acres in the airstrip will remain dormant, that more of the rocky area. They're going to have to regroup and do some more work on that. So that's the plan of what's been done that. We're still planning on Monday and Tuesday, October 19th and 20th, to be able to have the Longhorn cattle drive that will go from here over to and up the Scudenpaw Road and down, I believe, Willis Creek and down through the Prea. For those who want to participate, we do have a photographer lined up for that. D cattle lease. We need to do a new cattle lease with Doug Hunt. We did a one-year test lease, and we need to, I think, move forward now with a 10-year lease. He's still willing to pay the premium price of $1,750 in AUM, which is, I think, great for us. And, you know, obviously as we improve our rangeland and stuff, we can move forward with more animals, and that can be a good source of income and a good source of entertainment on the ranch for us as well. And so I would like to maybe ask if the board would approve me moving forward with a 10-year lease with Hunts based on the same criteria that we've used this year. And obviously the lease, if the lease was breached, it will have some language in it that protects us if they don't pay their fees or if they are causing problems in some way on the ranch.
Who's going to draw that up?
I will draw it up.
I make a motion that Dirk make that proposal and go ahead and draw it up and then bring it to us, and then we should go ahead with that contract.
Why 10 years? That's an awful long contract.
10 years is a long
time. Basically, what we would hope to get, number one, is he can increase his herd size and move forward. You know, you can't raise cows and have babies and plan on, you know, your plans if you know, well, maybe this year I'm going to have something and next year I'm not. Secondly, is in a lot of the things that we want to do with him, where we'd have the cattle drive twice a year and we'd have the longhorn gathering for the horn measurement and stuff here. We need to have some longer-term commitments that, that as he moves forward and puts his money into advertising, Good Springs Ranch is the location for those types of things that he would feel like we're going to be in that business. And he's now had some of those activities going for about 10 years, so he's, you know, got a good history of doing those things and I think could perform well. But I think we can really get a lot out of him if he knows that he's going to be with us for a long time.
I agree. I think it makes the whole thing more like the ranch, you know?
Yeah, my only concern is that, you know, at what point is the benefit to the ranch, you know, locking us in for 10 years? That means that for 10 years, you know.
We have an income.
Well, we have an income, but we can get an income from almost anybody. It may not be
$70. Not nearly.
Yeah. Well, I've been up to the Cedar auction and all that.
Right.
I have a concern, and it's just that the term of the lease is long.
Yeah.
It locks us in for 10 years.
Well, here's the thing I see. What are we going to say we don't want cows on the ranch?
Right. We're going to have cows on the ranch next year. If it's got some proper, escape clauses that if we're unhappy, we can cancel the lease, then to in good faith say, whether it's a five-year automatic renewal or a 10-year flat out, but at any time, look, if you don't pay or you don't follow the rules, the only other thing that I could have concern or want to recommend as an amendment to Shauna's
motion
is that again, and I'm very confident with working with Doug that he won't have a problem, that the DSROA board, but part of the lease
is a rotation plan, and that we still control that, so that we,
right,
you know, really work with them. I brought the one that I had made up, Dirk, I did find years ago. We need to look at it. And again, it'll change as we create these additional tasks.
I'll make sure that we add. I mean, he doesn't care. He's
right,
so willing to work with whatever we tell. We're never, in my opinion, going to find a more workable partner that's willing to pay anywhere near what we are and do everything we tell him we want him to do.
There, well, for example, here's what I had put together before. Again, those need to be changed, but that's a rotation plan that we tried to get Robinson on, and I put Robinson on this rotation in 1999, and by the end of the lease, we still could. There were cows just scattered wherever they wanted to go, and we could have forced
him to go. The problem is most people running a cattle herd, they're after pounds. So they're going to go for good feed,
good feed.
What we want is to force the marginal feed areas. We want to get the browse out. We want to get the
When the good feed's gone, we want to force his cows, even if they start losing a little weight, to stay in that pasture for two more weeks and chew down the brush.
He's willing to do that because...
And he doesn't care. He's growing horns.
His profit model isn't based on what.
Yeah, and I understood that. I want to make sure that the association is protected.
Yeah.
In long term. We had a nightmare with the goats.
What you're saying. I don't know if we were kind of waiting for the Robinson lease to end.
It was a 10-year lease, wasn't it?
It was, you know, it was horrible.
Yeah.
I just came into the end of it.
And I'm like, then maybe five years or something like that.
I made a phone call, and I was basically told to live with it. You know.
Well, I think that, the problem with the goat lease is there was no escape clause.
Right.
And maybe should have been thought out a little, you know, that many goats was a problem and stuff to begin with. The other thing that I do know, Dirk, and you may know a little better, you've been talking with Doug, but I know that Doug is trying to, he's at a stage in his life, he wants to have his final 10 years to...
Doug Hunt, to just
Doug Hunt.
Clarify that. Yeah.
Oh, did I say something?
No.
Yeah.
I want to make sure.
Doug Hunt.
Right.
You met him there, and so he's at this stage of his life with these champion longhorns. He wants the place for the next 10 years to finish out, you know, his career. If he thinks, you know, he only has five, and then he's maybe going to have to move or switch again. It'll make a whole difference of what he's willing to really invest in and try to build in the operation.
I agree.
Just a question. With this 10-year lease, is the ranch thinking about purchasing cattle again? I think if the ranch doesn't do that, we're not soaking money in the wintertime feeding these cows, but we still have cattle on the ranch. We can still run them through the scales and have the competitions and the whole...
Well, and we haven't necessarily guaranteed him exclusive use.
Good.
There are just, you know, a lot of options that we have that we aren't giving away by working.
I think he's doing a great thing, and it's great service to us. We really, it builds our value of our ranch all the way around. I think that it's a good operation.
Okay, so right now we have a motion. Do we have a second for Dirk to at least explore it and write up what again, Doug is asking for and wanting so that the board can, you know, review it and approve it for, you know, in its final form. However, you know, based on the concerns that have been voiced today, so that it'll come back to us for final approval and see what...
Would this include, you know, the infrastructure, the fencing, on the grazing? And
good question.
Basically, I think fencing is going to need to remain with us as far as new fencing and such. And we want to do things.
I've worked with the 20 ranches I've worked with in the last 10 years. Every time, there's two philosophies. There's those that, as the ranch owner, maintains the fences, charges an AUM fee that allows them to maintain fences, or there's the ones that, hey, I don't want to worry about it, and so you as the operator, as the lessee, you run your cows wherever, and you're responsible for the fences, and everyone that has done that has happened, just like Deer Springs the last 10 years.
That's like Robinson.
The fences 20 years later don't even hardly exist.
Right.
We've got to take pride in our fences for you know, roadway management, for cattle management and everything. And again, Doug is paying more than enough to do that. We've got to, I think that we want to keep that control. I mean, I think that, you know, if there's a project, if we've got a higher fence repair or we coordinate, you know, members' time and your time and things, I think that, again, that should be clarified in the lease.
Right.
But as far as, because it comes back in not only fence, all range lines improvements that are on that map that you have and I gave Dirk, you know, a lot of the fences we don't own, they're the BLM. It's our responsibility to maintain them, but also the windmills, the wells, the watering holes that we've got to take an interest and take better care of the next 10 years than we've turned a blind eye and hope somebody will have the last 10 years and they've gone downhill.
That comes to your liability too, because we want to make sure those cows are in. You know,
well, and there may be some areas that we say, Doug, we don't want your cows here. We're keeping this water hole exclusive for wildlife, or we want this to be a beautiful, peaceful area for whatever. And if he's maintained it, he feels an ownership or whatever, he can be there. It's easy for us to say, no, we're boxing you out of this area. We don't want any cows in here for whatever reason. And then, you know, we have that right and to maintain that.
Basically, so, within the lease, they will say that we determine where the cows can be.
Right.
What areas that we're not going to have cows.
We can't because of our membership.
We're going to be maybe working with Johnson's on some things. Our members have the right to have a couple of, you know, so.
Okay.
I think that, and again, I honestly don't think you'll ever find another guy that would
deal with that.
They've been wonderful.
Agree to work within all of those kind of parameters.
Right. So in the lease, whether it's written or just working with Doug, you know, he can tell us before we get to the beginning of the year how many head he's planning on, and we can, again, massage our rotation schedule to accommodate that, but we may totally box him out of area that we're dry land farming, or again, we've still got to see how this affects the members that want to do cows, whether we're going to allow that.
Well, Doug's willing to allow the members' cows to be in on this.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, all of those kind of things are...
I mean, that is
easy to work out.
That your cow got, I mean...
Okay.
Well, Stan?
Yeah.
After it was all settled, it was all fine.
You know, he wouldn't be willing to allow a member's breeding bull in with his.
Right. Beef, the member's right is for beef steers.
Right.
And so yeah, this year, again, was a little bit of a last-minute thing, and there was some disorganization that created some concern. But that was worked through, and now we all know what we need to do, and so we need, as board members, and Linda, you're in contact with them. If any member is planning or wants to do that, we need to know. In fact, it needs to be maybe in the newsletter. That needs to be registered early in the year. If you plan on a beef steer or something, it's got to be made sure that it's either a heifer that could be bred and they don't care, or it's a steer that can't be a breeding bull that's not been trick tested and some of those things, because it doesn't matter what's on our private or the BLM. That's, again, just violation of the rules nowadays.
Okay. Did we vote on that?
We draw it up.
We had a motion. We made it.
Yeah, we had a motion. Who seconded?
I thought you were seconding. No.
Oh, I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Motion carries.
Okay, fences, gates, and cattle guards we'll discuss mostly, I think, as we drive up through there. But I would like to just say that I think we need to get back on a cattle guard plan so that we
just got that just a little while we were waiting for the meeting to start. There has been some material donated. Paul's going to research that here in the near future on inventory. How much round pipe and stuff, you know, can we build one or four cattle guards? And then after knowing that, we'll decide whether we can or budget some additional funds to buy materials in this winter, try to build some cattle guards. And we've talked with Paul, and we'll look at, on our tour today, some of the top priority locations.
I saw some tons.
Okay. Now, well, they said some may still be over on your lot here.
There's four out there, and you got two over on your lot.
We're dragging the road with, but
so,
I got more.
One can have.
So,
okay.
I don't know how many you want to bring.
Well, when we get into it, we're going to need 20 tons.
Yeah.
To, I mean, each cattle guard takes...
That's too bad.
Like five...
5 tongues per cattle guard. If we make 4, we're talking 20 tongues, something like that.
Okay. Tell us 2 trailers, just to clarify. Okay.
Okay, so is that all dirt?
Yep. That's a good water. That's a good winter project.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Okay, next on the agenda is water rights, is my area. Part of that, and I've already gone over, so we won't need to take any time in the meeting, was with Paul on water testing. And work with the Division of Water Rights and the Division of Drinking Water. The other thing that we have discussed a little bit, and if there's any further discussion, is to have Dirk, who sits on the Kane County Water Conservancy Board, to explore with them what cost or what they're willing to do as far as being our drinking water qualifier, so that we have a consistent license qualifier. Barbara Button or Taylor, you know, went to the courses and stuff. There's a course this fall.
She's supposed to be going this month for the class. Right.
Well, and I think you still need to anyway. I mean, to do it, but there's still some other things that, you know, like on the testing and what to do if they are willing. Again, they're gearing up and have now full-time trained staff that does their systems and a lot of other private systems in the county. So if it's a matter of them coming out 2 days a year or, you know, or quarterly and helping take those tests and sending them in with theirs and stuff.
Well, talking with a guy from the Rural Water Association, he said, why not test every month?
There soon to be that requirement, I think.
Right. Well, I think it's beneficial. I mean, it's just more of a CYA kind of thing. Hey, you know what? We're testing every month.
Everyone the conservancy does is monthly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we'll explore that and see as far as getting the systems monitored a little better or more consistently. And then, again, we went over some things a week ago with Paul in shutting down the north, the upper water system and draining it and some improvements and stuff to look at protecting the spring area, the pumping equipment and stuff. We will try to work and we'll make a report back to the board when we have something. But right now, it's unprotected. The spring is an area that the cattle are defecating on. There's, you know, the wires and stuff are being trampled and it really needs to be cleaned up. It's worked good for us. Right. Hodgepodge of a system as it is, but it needs to be a little more consistent so that
kind of along those lines, the account shouldn't be anywhere near that. Right. And we've talked with West Fence along that ditch line right there, put in a cattle guard or a gate. We're going to stick with the cattle guard, but the cow shouldn't even be close to there. Mm-hmm. So that would solve that problem. And then just kind of building a box around the opening. And burying the wires and some conduit, it should be. I don't know about building a fence. I think just burying it and making a nice wooden box, leave it natural, let the trees grow kind of around it, and call it good.
Okay.
The cattle will migrate to the water wherever it is.
Oh yeah.
Paul fixed that up, I guess, quite a bit. It was leaking, and that's why.
So where that was leaking out of the tank, you did pass that and get it sealed up.
I went to pump water, and I couldn't pump water, and the wires, you know, you'd think red and red and black, we were not around here. It's red and black and black and red.
But it's fixed now.
Yeah, it's working.
Okay, in addition, Jody, I'm assuming you're here to talk to us some on your interests.
Nothing to do with my time. It's just I brought in our proposed route, but we're still working on the development plan. So I just brought that in to you guys to look at.
Great, yeah. Give us the update of where you are at this point.
Yeah.
Indianapolis, Jody.
Jody Akers is right there in the Broad Hollow cluster near Brent. And so she's one participating.
And remember, houses now, Shauna's item.
Okay. On the improvement using some of the water out of Lee Spring, and again, their question here is, would be stuff that you'd work on? No?
I think these are all.
Why would it be Shauna's?
I'm not on water.
No, sorry. I thought you were on the ranch activities when you talked about trails.
Oh, no.
That's what easement.
Yeah, no, some Brent's under roads and easements. But that's what we're talking about, documenting and agreeing on the proposed route across the association ground for a pipeline.
Okay.
Those are numbered in order 1, 2, and 3 for pages for the route that we through the meadow.
Oh, I see you're walking one.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
And in that packet, too, you'll have
and I got 3.
The GPS routing, so you can kind of get a good visual on it from the air. And also in the packet is... because I was walking it, I went ahead and tracked more points than normally would. So there's a lot of excess points on here. This is just an approximate route that and it marks on the column under the notes what points, the pertinent points of the track.
Okay, good.
That's what you don't see that.
Yeah, this is that's for you, everyone. Okay. Where she
okay.
And I'm not here today to make an official, proposal on this or anything. This is just to give you information that we're working on right now.
Right.
Okay.
That definitely, where it's going through the washes and stuff looks like the best route to make it easy. And then, as long as it's deep enough to not be... do you know how deep you're planning on going?
4 feet deep.
Okay.
The barrier line.
What size?
1.5.
That's not bad.
Well, I think it was you that mentioned last time that if it's going to be like the main water source from the spring, that it should be big enough to where you could tee it off.
To do all the lots.
To do, multiple lots rather than,
Well,
it is an inch and a half, or
you need 2 inches.
I don't know, but again, I think that
may not be enough water source.
Even if you went down to a 2-inch.
Now, you're talking a rolled, a solid pipe, and I guess it comes in 2 inches. Usually, you get to 2 inches, you start looking at 20-foot length that you glue together. Where
I mean, 5 years down the road. Somebody might want to tap into that.
I think that's a paramount decision that needs to be made is one of the things, as everybody knows, is that every lot owner, by virtue of their membership, is entitled to and that spring there being a potential water source for several lots, we need to look and say, well, not just the first lot or two that would tie into that, we need to look and see, do we want to maybe make it a little bigger project than what would work for just a couple of lots.
What kind of water do we have? Have you tested it? How much water have you got?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, what Paul has captured coming off the hill going down to the trough is about 1 gallon a minute. There's actually 4 different locations where it comes out of the hillside up there. I'm not really all that familiar. I measured it right out of the hillside 2 or 3 years ago, and I got 2 gallons a minute right out of the hillside. But that's one location out of the hillside, and it's actually coming out at two or three different spots. And I'm not that familiar with spring development or horizontal drilling or anything. I do know that Alma Fletcher was telling me that he horizontally drilled over there in Kodachrome Basin. And he started out with a 10-gallon a minute spring, and this is for the state, for the park over there.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up with something like 50 gallons a minute, you know. And so I don't know that much about it. If we did horizontally drill, if we could increase the flow substantially, you know, up into the 10 to 20 gallon a minute range, and then there'd be, you know,
spills.
You know, a lot of water. But right now, what Paul's capturing with his Fred Flintstone system, will that be a good way to call it? We're getting a gallon a minute. But, I mean, it's a good, consistent gallon a minute coming right out. But, once again, it's coming out at different spots.
I'm just wondering what kind of, you know, they don't have a well where we're going to pump it if you're coming horizontal, unless you're going to, because you should have a pretty good flow already. Depending.
Now, what's the guys in the podunk area, they have their tanks up there that fill up, and then it goes from the tank out. Is that what's being proposed that they're doing up here?
Hasn't got that far.
I don't think the whole system's really been engineered or decided, and that's where I don't know. You said this was preliminary on this, and you are rating on something else. Are you working with, have you worked much with an engineer or anybody to look at?
Justin's probably going to take care of that part.
Okay.
And we'll look at it when he gets done. As far as, you know, our thought on this, the well's been there. The spring's been there for a long, long, long time. It hasn't been used. Yeah, it should be something that's available for members that want to use it. I know that other members in Rock Hall have been contacted before, and nobody's interested in it. And so we put out letters to all the membership in Rock Hall to see who else is interested now, so we can have them help with the project and get them a water line as well. So that will be something we'll probably done by next month as well.
So right now you're working independently, just you guys?
Yeah. Just because we're the only ones that seem to want it and have the funds to do it now. So that's what we're going to work on. See how, if you want, if someone else in Buffalo wants to use it, let's get an in, because that would lower my cost as well.
Sure.
So we're looking at that, and then he's going to look at what it would take to do the structure of the spring in the water. But it's something like, you know, is it going to support 20 gallons? Well, there's not 20 gallons ready to do this.
Right. Well, and that's why. Right, and that's why. Well, it's the same thing that's what happens. You know, in Podunk or even here, the 40,000 gallon tank that needs to be done. I mean, it still needs to be worked on. But again, that was an association.
At 2 gallons a minute, it would support 6 seasonal uses.
Some of those were, it was an association cost, and then individual members would pay a hookup fee. So instead of them trying to pay for the whole project or split the whole project with 2 members, is to say, you know, if there's 20 lots in the area, and historically maybe only 75% of them are going to ever hook into it, that's still only 15. There may only be 2 or 3 worth wanting or willing to hook up now, but trying to, you know, budget, do the system right the first time as far as putting in a big enough tank, putting in a big enough line, and then, you know, you and the others that are ready to hook into it now paying a flat fee now, but it being built so that somebody that buys the lot next to you, whoever owns the lot next to you now may have no interest at all, but it may sell in the next year or 2 years from now, and somebody that's saying, hey, I sure wish they would have, and I don't want to have now been cut out because I didn't buy, they can then pay a fee, and again, that fee will always go up, not down, you know, I mean, but then they pay that and they reimburse back into the association into a more of a water system.
Question, who would fund that?
The association.
The association is the association interested in doing that?
Well, that's how they've done the others.
They have to be interested in it.
Right. That's how they've done, I mean, you know, like I said, the 40,000 gallon tank up here. There's members up here that have lots that have paid for that hookup. They do not have any more water to their lot than you do, but they paid up front to help get the 40,000 gallon tank set and get the water, you know, because the tank was set, and then it was expensive to run in a 6-inch line from the well field up to the 40,000 gallon tank. And so in order to raise funds, then it was, you know, tried to budget out and say, okay, right now in today's cost, it's going to cost this much. How many are willing to pay this cost? How many are not interested? But understand that if you become interested or your next lot owner becomes interested down the road, it's going to cost more. And so some said, hey, I'll go ahead and put in X thousand today instead of twice that 5 years from now.
Right. And we're looking to do that as soon as possible, too, because number one, we want water. Number two, we want to keep it as low cost as possible. And I'm thinking, you know, like, well, maybe an idea, too, is we do whatever, however the construction of the well is developed, the spring develops, we get a immediate need of who needs the water now, who wants the water now, which would certainly 1.5-inch pipe would fill up, like, for 6 families or whatever. And then if the association wants to lay another pipe alongside that, as we're trenching, to do it at that time as well, so that way we're enabled for other hookups at that at future date.
I think the only way to do it is to do it all together as one system now. Because if you hook up to that spring, let's say you go out and do some improvement, you have a water source, and you get used to using it, and you're using it in the middle of the summer, and as an association, 2 years from now, we say, you know what, we're cutting your water off in 3 weeks because we're going to bring drilling equipment in here and horizontally drill, and during that 3 weeks now you have no water because we're going to be tearing the spring apart again or something. You know, that doesn't work whichever way it goes.
Well, since we already have a water right, so our priority, we're up there on the priority list. You could, like, they wouldn't come in and shut you off from the water. You'd have to deal with what's left.
Would have to shut you off.
Yeah, but whoever goes in, you understand where the leaf spring area is. If somebody takes a backhoe in there and starts digging around and muddying the water, nobody's going to want to drink it while that's in happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
you'd wash it.
The association water rights that are there now are the priority water rights. You guys now, here in the last year or so, filed on some additional water rights.
Right.
So those are the grandfather rights. And so what I'm saying is, if a system's put together,
yeah,
there's no reason whether we horizontally drill for one person or 20 people, it's the same cost. So the way to you go in and do it and then share out the cost, it makes it more cost effective and a better system for everyone.
That's great if we're ready to move on that company. So something that's worth going to look at to see,
yep,
if the association wants to put water in.
Yep. Yeah, I think it never comes about the other systems that have been done until folks like you say, hey, we're ready and we're interested. We need that now. But the more you can help encourage and push the board and cooperate with us, the faster it'll get done. Instead of trying to run, you lay a pipeline, we lay a pipe down. You know, you have a spring, and then if your site the spring dries up, but the other side doesn't, or whatever, it'll always be a maintenance, you know, nightmare.
You guys keep.
Okay, so we appreciate what you're doing.
We understand that. So we understand that you're ready to do it right now.
Is this the full package?
No, yeah,
I believe so. The best thing to do is to engineer it to get the max use out of it.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit. Now I've got this. Based on your timeline right now and what you want, you're hoping to have a pipeline laid and water to your lot when?
We're thinking before the winter hits.
Well, I mean, like, tomorrow.
Okay, and so what?
We have the labor right now put it in at a low cost because Justin can do it. We don't know if that option is going to be available next year. That's why we're going to push for it now.
Okay.
We've got documents how to do it, and that was what Larry was talking about before he passed. We have the approval last year. The plan hasn't been made, it's just now it's stalled.
Okay, and so your current plan right now as far as hooking up the spring is what or how?
Don't know that. Justin will work on that.
And who's Justin?
Justin Murphy.
Okay.
Larry Murphy's son. After Larry passed away.
The neighboring lot, the other family. Another lot.
That's a key thing that needs to be coordinated.
Yeah.
You know, I suspect in a lot of ways that other things could be dealt with, but obviously the association with their water rights cannot allow somebody else to go in with junior water rights and manipulate the spring.
But what if we do this? What if we have Justin come and talk to Ben? Because he's over the water.
Oh,
why don't you have him come and coordinate?
Yeah, I assume they're already talking, but I don't know if they are or not.
I haven't.
And that way they could work out the details so we know how
that
would cost.
That's to work out.
Then we can figure out how much we would have to put out to help do that cost.
So there should, and you know, there are some state requirements as far as the vault system and all that kind of stuff that
has to be done.
Needs to be done. And I would be surprised if he could do it even for you and meet those requirements this late in the season. But
we were going to do it like a month ago.
Yeah. I know how things kind of drag out, but developing the spring and taking care of that correctly is probably going to be a fairly significant item, but the sooner he starts working with Ben, probably the better.
I'd also like to volunteer myself in the water committee.
Okay.
Okay. Good. Yes. We're all for that.
Okay. If we have time, or well, if not, I will go because I want to look at some stuff. That's just my question, you know, because last time, you know, I was there when we had equipment in Leaf Spring digging and putting in pipes, you know, 15 years ago. And so I'm not sure some of the stuff that you have now. But springs are very, very delicate to begin with, and one on a hillside like that is even more so, where, you know, you've got water coming down into a tank now, and if we go and take four scoops of the backhoe, and all of a sudden now no more water will go in that pipe because now it's running off the hill in a different lower location or something. That's where I don't know. I'm sure it can be done. I don't think it's the best thing, but I'm not sure how, Jody, if you guys lay a pipe, how you're going to hook into it without disturbing what's there now.
When Brent was saying, you know, Flintstone set up, he wasn't too far off. There's, you know, that aluminum pipe, about 60 or 80 feet of it, and it's, you know, the water comes out, and it's just kind of, the Johnsons have been out there kind of working it too, to water their cows. But you just kind of dig a trench to the pipe, and there's kind of a hole there that the water goes down and goes down the pipe into the trough. But if we're looking at, you know, natural spring water, the cows can't be up there.
Right. So well, that's where
the ranch is going to have to look at building a pretty stout fence.
Well, haven't they got Dale?
Sorry to interrupt you now.
Whoa, that was a
problem. I missed everyone.
Haven't they done a certain amount of fencing recently to build that up? Is it half fence now?
I'd say 75%.
Okay.
Kind of tight.
So, again, that's, you know, once that's finished, I don't know. We need to get somebody that's a little more, but again, I think we've got to do it right the first time, or this time. I won't say the first time. But I don't know if digging and trying to capture the spring is worth it at all. If you can go in there underneath it or in the middle of it and horizontal drill back. And
on the spring, it's either a 100 or a 200 foot protection zone that has to be fenced out.
Right.
And you're probably safest doing a horizontal bore rather than digging.
Right. If we don't dig anything and go in there and tear out and remove what's there and horizontally bore back in, let the hillside heal and then just fence it off so no cows are anywhere right there in the spring or even above it. And have everything in totally concealed pipes so you don't get one mouse that dies and falls into your spring. But, you know, that's what will be the problem. And if you went up on the hillside, it looks just like it did 100 years ago. It's a hilled over, nice little wet spot with no cows tromping and hoof printing for the water to puddle and making a muck hole and everything. And everything's buried down to a tank at the bottom of the hill where it can collect and build up a fairly substantial storage and then flowing as closer as far as it will go towards the private lots, and then from there a pumping station or whatever needs to be to lift it to individual lots or something.
Well, just so you guys know the history of this thing, and just so you understand, the reason there's a level of urgency is Larry Murphy passed away, and he owned Livewire Electric, and Larry was Livewire Electric, and he had several employees. Now that he's passed away, he had contracts that were that Justin is fulfilling with the employees, and then as soon as these contracts are fulfilled, they're selling the business off, including all of the equipment. Right now, Larry's got a very, and it's already up here, a very nice Caterpillar backhoe. He's got a nice trencher. He's got all of those things, and they don't, and plus they have the employees. They don't want, I mean, this is not to put pressure on anyone to go ahead with it. This is just the reason that they're trying to hurry the process up, because he hopes to have the whole thing disassembled, dissolved, sold off, sometime as soon as all these current contracts are over. And that's the reason that there seems to be a level of urgency. These guys are not in any way, shape, or form not willing to share or don't think it would be a good idea to develop the spring for the whole Broad Hollow area. And plus satisfy the ranch's livestock units and whatever else. But that's what the level of urgency was. But while we're talking about water, what are we doing about the 40,000 gallon tank as far as repair?
Okay. Probably already too late, right? Remember all the epoxies we talked about had to be, what, 70 degrees?
Yeah, there's the air temperature has to be like a steady.
I've been working on that with the John Chaplin book.
Yeah, we've, I think, lost most. I think the main thing is now to get through this year on that.
Right.
And budget 2010 and get a firm set somewhere that second half of April, you know, before cabins and it's used sometime end of April, early May to go in and do that for a week.
Okay. Yeah, I just.
That's a good point.
I just want to bring it up.
Okay, back on this so we don't get sidetracked. I think if we can make a plan so that we put in the right size pipe in the right place, you know, while we've got, cooperation and economic equipment and stuff and get that in, we could.
And while you're working on that plan, you know, Paul kind of brought this up, but I was thinking the same. You know, maybe that here's the spring, we're going to have to do all these kind of things, and that's going to take this kind of thing, but perhaps they can start on the other end.
Right.
You know,
that's what I'm saying. If we have a whole plan, we've got the spring's got to be improved, the transit line's got to be done, the tank's got to be done. Hey, if we can get the line in and just temporarily hook in some of what water's flowing there now, at least it'll drizzle down there. It's not any, but then
you have to put a pump.
But then next season, look at having a well drill actually come and do the horizontal drill and put in the tank, whether we can find an existing metal tank or we've got to build a cement tank or something. But then the final system is something that the state engineer will and drinking water division isn't going to come and chop holes in and say, we're not allowing this anywhere, you know. I think that, you know, one thing that we need to, you know, talk and maybe have some expense or some is at least to talk to somebody that can engineer and get us some stuff. Because, again, the pipe, part of it has to do with the outflow of the spring. Part of it has to do with the use of how many people potentially anytime may use it. But part of it is just the amount of freight. Again, if we're talking 1 to even 10 gallons a minute, I mean, a garden hose will run 10 gallons a minute. So an inch and a half pipe is plenty more than enough to carry that volume. But it's the pressure because of the resistance stuff. Some will say, you know what? A little bigger pipe will give you a little more storage and make it so you don't have to have so much pumping cost to try to push it through a smaller pipe. But somebody, I think, you know, design, you know, having somebody actually design the water system has got to answer those questions.
So just to recap too, I want to make sure I understand here's this water thing. So right now, this individual plan would be put on hold for you guys to sit and think about and plan how the association would develop that spring so that it can be used for everybody in the future, and that's what you're going to go forward with at this point. And that's the plan.
Well, I think what we're suggesting is this, the
suggestion.
Justin should immediately,
right,
Monday morning, go talk to Ben. Be talking to Ben.
And tell
Justin, where does Justin live?
In Phoenix.
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 Okay.
Phoenix. start developing a plan.
Right.
I don't think we would have to say until there is a SOMA plan or approval, then we probably don't have the basis to approve.
Make a decision.
Right. That's the direction you want to go on.
I think so. I mean, again, respecting your position and stuff on that, I mean, does that help you or hurt you? Is that more create concern?
Well, help you pay for the cost because
I think that part of it is, again, if you guys track it, you know, if we get it and we say, hey, Justin is able and willing and has the equipment to put it in, you're already budgeting and planning to put X dollars into some of the piping or whatever, we track that so that it's obvious later, you're probably not going to write a check to DSROA.
Well, but some of the systems have been put in, for example, maybe you pay 100% of the cost, but then the next person...
And it's a reimbursement program.
...reimburses you if we don't have the budget to do it.
Well, see, that's
so
that true.
Some
this small plan, this little plan,
yeah,
was affordable. This big plan, we're not going to put 100% of it. Have them pay us that.
Right.
We don't have the capital to do that.
Right.
We have a small plan fund, so that's...
Well, although I would say there, at least from what we've seen, there is no small plan funds for dealing with the spring.
So what else happened in association?
Well, what you're saying as far as your small plan right now is purchase and install a couple thousand feet of pipe.
Look, the spring with the holding tank, put the pipe in across the acreage.
So you think Justin has some idea of how he thinks he's going to and how much money what it's going to take to do the tank and improve the spring?
So perhaps his plan would be something if we
might
be
see,
which is great.
Yeah.
But his plan was not like...
Well, maybe it doesn't need to be beefed up.
Okay.
But yeah, like I said...
But I'm just saying, until we even have a plan to look at, we have a hard time
making a decision.
But
yeah, if you have his contact information, give that to me today, then I can try to get a hold of him, but definitely I can give you give you a card that has all my contact current information that you can get to him. I just want to count the lots. 20,
there's 20 lots. What are you keeping thing for the association land?
Just so that I'm clear, that doesn't matter because the people who owned your lot didn't care before. But that is not fair at all. You know what I'm saying? The association and the board, what I feel is my responsibility to protect the association and the long term betterment of the ranch. I don't care what the present owner made, because I've been there where the present owner was the one that was the biggest pain in the butt, and we begged him to cooperate, and somebody that says, I will never sell Deer Springs, I'm here for the long haul, and a week later, David Sills resigns from the board, puts his lot on the market, and is trying to sell it. He's probably one of the longest members of the association, been here longer than everybody here except Dale. He's now resigned from the board and planning on selling his lot at Deer Springs. I've seen that so many times. And the new person is the one that's the most mad and antagonistic and threatening towards the board, because why didn't you force this to happen? We tried to get the present owner of your lot, and so
right.
It just changes. And you know, we've seen it so many times. I think we've got to do something that's a comprehensive plan that everybody can do. And again, I honestly believe it will be a better program and more affordable for everyone if we do it together. It takes a little better coordination and communication than we've had, obviously, but we'll work on that. So if you can have him contact me or give me, if you have any of his stuff, I will start looking into...
And this would be a great one to see if the Water Conservancy would help fund. It's a small enough one that would be at least worth asking.
Okay.
Is that something that would be like tying us into the water... Company of Utah, or
no? It's the King County Water Conservancy. Like I said, they've built several systems, but they have taken over either the complete maintenance, or you know, some, you know, that it's still a privately owned water system, but they've taken over the, you know, operation and maintenance of it, or
testing,
you know,
etc.
Right.
I would say testing would be okay, but I don't think I
want
to rely on them for maintenance.
All the other systems.
I thought drove through our sun.
A whole lot better than anybody else I know.
Could they get out here like every day?
Yeah.
Did you make that trip?
They would.
Oh boy.
I can tell you right now there are 3,000 people, 3,000 connections in the different systems that we've done. I'm a board member on the Water Conservancy. Every single association that we've gone with has gone through the transition from, hey, we want to do it ourselves, we want it ourselves, we want it ourselves, to, can you please take this over and can you do it tomorrow? And there are none, Ben, none of the systems that have stayed private. They have all said, hey, by you guys doing the funding, you guys doing the maintenance, you know, just like any utility, you call up and say, hey, I don't have water, I don't have whatever, and they are responsive.
They come out and take care of it.
So, again, they don't take on a project unless they feel like that they can do that. So it will be a stretch for us to see if they would do that and for other areas of the ranch in the future. But it's at least something worth exploring. So I could give you some names to talk to of other people and other associations.
Well, and that thing is, you have the people that don't, they just want to turn on their water, and somebody like you that are interested in you know, planning on being here more. But when you're not here, are you the one that wants to get the 10 calls a day saying, hey, I don't have water, get up here and fix my water system on a donated basis? You know, that's what... Either now or later, sooner or later, you'll burn out of your neighbors yelling and screaming at you because somehow they think that, you know, you're responsible and need to take care of it. And part of that is just like the ranch systems, is having a system a little bit hodgepodge together and build over time, and instead of putting something in, it takes very little maintenance. But it still, no matter what, has to meet state regulations. If those come in and shut it down, they'll start writing your letter saying, you're the one that gets a $2,000 a day fine until this is fixed.
And we have our first letter
on
other water systems
right.
that we received this week.
Thank you. How, you've seen some of those other fines. What's the highest fines you've seen?
$5,000 a day.
Yeah.
Oh, but hey, you guys are trying to invent the world all over again. There's several thousand water companies in Utah right now. To start out from a little spring development, they're going to tell you exactly what to do. I can tell you things that we've been through the last 10 years, and they're not pleasant.
Yeah.
But you're not in the driver's seat.
Well, and that's what I'm trying to say. I mean, it's easy to think, hey, we're just looking for two families, and we're going to improve a spring, and we got a water right from the state. The Division of Drinking Water will come in like the Gestapo, and they're going to make you understand that you are not in control, and it's not just a little water system, and you're going to abide by their rules, or it's you going to court against $5,000 a day penalty fines once they've told you this. And when you say, hey, we don't have the money to do that, they say, we don't care. You started it. Now you bought it. And I don't think you want to be in that position.
Well, it definitely requires more research.
And so, but I think that by some of these engineers that Dale's worked with and Dirk has worked with and stuff, and that, again, we're not trying to do a municipal system here. We want to keep it on a maintainable size and scope. We're talking, 20 individual lots and the association ground, the association use there. We're going to definitely be pushed on the output of that spring to get it so that it will meet that need. But if we budget it right, again, maybe we need to have a little bit bigger tank so that, you know, when the water's running at 2 o'clock in the morning, nobody's using it, it's storing up for tomorrow's use. But we can facilitate that by the, you know, proper planning. And if we need to graduate in that and say we need a smaller tank now, in 5-10 years now, we'll add another one next to it to double the capacity. But we need the transition line and some of those things. You usually don't want to go back in and retrenching and throwing away part of your cost to upgrade it. So
I think, Jody, I've got some 50,000-gallon tanks, and if that spring could generate 10 gallons, that's 14,000 gallons in 24 hours. So in a couple of days, that could be filled. Then you've got something that you can pump out of. So there's things we can help you on. Some of the state law says if you go to the second person or if you go to the fifth person, or if you go to the 16th person, there are new laws and regulations, and they're the whole, you know. So I think some of us can help. We've made enough mistakes, and I think we can help and make suggestions and encourage the use of that water now that we've tried other times, but I think there's a demand today that we can do that, and the size of the tank, the amount of flow. You'll think I'm bad, but I guarantee you that it cannot happen maybe for a year. And it may take 2 years to meet their requirements and things. So we just are not inventing the wheel all over again. And I wish there was a way that Larry might be able, the thought I had is, can he go ahead and install a pipeline and cap it off on both ends and at least use his equipment and the pipe and so forth and cap it off, and then you've got that much.
Well, and that's
bad on either end.
Right, and that's what we're talking about. Or again, I just don't, you know, if the best, most optimum system was a 2-inch line, I hate to bury a 1.5-inch line, you know.
Would be better on that.
I chose to go ahead and do a full 6-inch line because sometime in the next 20 years it may be necessary. It's a little more expensive.
Well, what if we laid the 1.5-inch line now and let the association lay the 6-inch line next to it at the same time we're trenching?
Well, let me be clear for me. I think that if you want to ask, we as an association are going to put an easement across there. I'm happy to go and find a location and say you can do whatever you want, knowing that you're going to get shut off at some time in the future when we go in and develop the spring. I don't think that we can do two separate systems. But
I'm not talking about two separate systems.
Just get the pipe in now.
I'm talking about laying down two types of pipe right now.
Right.
So
well, but why would
we lay two sizes side by side instead of having
lay the 6-inch? You wouldn't need to lay the 1.5-inch.
Right.
Well, but it's affordable now to lay that.
But I just mean, why would
the cost is the trenching, not the pipe?
Two pipes in the same trench. I can see you putting in a trench, and 5 years later, us putting in a new trench in one of the side rooms. But if the trench is open and we can somehow put a 6-inch pipe in it now, you don't need to put it in.
Well, because I'm getting the point that there's not enough people right now that we know that we want to use that, so we don't need the 6-inch now. Put the 6-inch in, cap it off. Put the 1.5-inch for the ones that want to use it right away. Can use it right away?
A 6-inch would look great.
And they still have the same system, right?
I just finished the system. There were 62 lots in the subdivision. The drinking water required us to build a system big enough and to provide the pump well to do all 62. Some of the people said we will not pay for it. In fact, there's probably 10 out of the 60 that still have not paid for it. It's now going in working with a second water company, and they're all being required to pay and participate. So I think you've got 20 families potential there of people that own, and I think you're probably going to have to have it under the state and to the organizations, the commissions that will participate for a system for the full 20.
Well, see, that's where my argument comes in. I've invested a considerable amount of money in my own system. I've drilled my own well. I have my own pipe. I have a foolproof system that works 24, you know, every day of the year. And to be honest with you, I don't want to be forced into my premise for even coming to Deer Springs Ranch was to live an independent life, independent of anyone else. I don't want to talk to a water company. I don't want to talk to an electrical company. If I had my way, I love winter here. I wish it was winter 365 days a year, because then nobody else comes out. Okay, but I personally don't want to be forced in to make putting a connection at my lot simply because my neighbors want one.
Right.
You know, and it's not that I don't have the money. That's not the issue. I have other things I'd rather spend my money on. Okay? Now, so, and I look at Kane County Water Conservancy District and the projects that they've worked on, and if I'm, unless I'm mistaken, if they get 75% of the property owners involved, like Johnson Canyon, Long Valley Estates, then everybody in the subdivision, whether they need the connection or not, they get a stubbed out connection to their place and they get charged. Mm-hmm. And then they get a standby fee.
Standby fee.
In a subdivision like Vermilion Cliff Estates, yes.
They had an existing
system. They already had existing water meters to every lot. We just did one up on the mountain, and most of them that we've done said, who wants to participate? Yes, I want to. I don't want to. And the ones that don't want to have not been charged, but they have been told that likely it will be a higher fee if they change their mind later, because it will cost more to add something to serve them later.
If that's the case, bring them in.
Yeah.
I have no problem whatsoever.
So that's the
So the only one they force like that, again, that's when there's already an existing system.
Okay.
They come in retrofit, and so you have to kind of include everything. If it's organic or whatever.
Huh?
Not in California. We have lots there that we've had for 50 years, and they brought a water system through.
They're probably in a city, I guess.
But no. Way out in rural Flanders, California.
Anyway, that's how it's been. But I'm just saying,
yeah.
I'm not saying this is what we need to do. I'm just saying, number one, we need to look at what their plans are. We haven't seen it yet. Number two, we need to explore some of these things and see what we would want to do. Perhaps that spring would only serve 10 of the lots, you know, based on my quick calculations here. It probably could only serve about 10 of the lots unless we found that there's really a lot more water than 2 gallons a month. But in any case, that's still more than two lots, and so we ought to at least think of that. And by virtue of the association, every member has a claim to a water right. And so what we can't afford to do is appropriate and use all of the water rights in an area for 3 or 4 lots and then leave the others standing forever dry.
Do you know that we already had water rights?
I do.
Yes. We have water rights.
I know that that's been the case. But again, we as an association have a greater responsibility that we've historically had in addition to that. So I think there probably was some things that we should have looked at when we filed the water rights and addressed some of these things now. But since that hasn't been done and since we have now shared water right on the same spring, obviously we still need to work through some of those things.
And
so we're kind of still somewhat, discussing a lot of things without any plans or any thing to even look at to see if we loved it or hated it or liked it or didn't like it. But that spring should, I think, always has been historically envisioned as something that could serve a few lots. Maybe not all 20, but probably more than 2. And so to tie up that spring and to design a system that would not qualify for any more than 3 connections, which would, I think, be a problem if we did that without at least saying, here's how we could graduate it to the next step or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, there would be some agreements amongst you and the other users for either disruption of service or at least not allowing somebody to get up in there and possibly even lose the spring into the hillside by inappropriately capturing it. So, as such, we don't have the information in front of us today to do that. We need much more detail, and my guess is it's a lot more detail than maybe has been thought of at this point in time. But if we can start working on that detail, then
we'll have something to make decisions on.
Okay, can we move on?
Yeah, we need to move on. So we're going to look up by there. Okay? Thank you. Let's move on to ranch activities. Shauna, do you have anything to report on your 1 hour old assignment?
That we're going to
work on it. Okay. Let's go to Ed Belinsky, Legal and Public Safety.
Yeah, I talked to John Southwick on the lawsuit that's currently ongoing. Supposedly there's going to be a hearing. He said the first of next year. I'm assuming the first part of next year, not January 1st, because the court is probably not open. So he's going to send me all the stuff that he has, all the information, and I'll report what I get when I get it. I think probably it would be more appropriate for the president to be the contact for the legal. I don't mind doing it. I'm just saying, you know, as far as... Will he still be the one?
John will be. Okay. He was over when this happened.
Okay. Well, then I'll just continue getting information from him and passing it on.
Well, and John was not. I think Larry was the president of the board. So Larry still gets some correspondence. John does. What we need to do is get that so we know who our attorney even is and notify our attorney that this is the new contact person, whether that's you or Dirk. We need to let them know that don't be sending a lot of stuff to
John
Larry and John Southwick and people that are not on the board.
Right.
And so that is, you know, updated.
Okay.
So, Ed, if you could just maybe look into that. I'd sure like to be copied or made aware.
Again, the main thing is the correspondence goes to DSROA, PO Box 254.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if that happened, it automatically rotates with leadership and it's taken care of. We don't keep losing stuff that's going to somebody's private address at their home or something.
Okay.
Excellent.
All right. And I'll pass that on to John. See if you can do something with it. Also, the other thing was is that quite a number of years ago, Dale had recommended or suggested limited liability companies for the protection of the association. I think that's probably worth looking into again.
So it's voted on by the membership of the annual meeting.
I know, Dale. That's why I brought it up. So that's what I'll be working on too. So
great.
Bringing that
forward. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Next thing, then we'll go to ranch review. Paul Brayton.
Well, I like this. Most of the stuff's already covered, as far as what I've done.
Well, we fixed the gate. We fixed the spring. You brush off that big area.
Yeah. No,
I think it's somewhat intentional that this is a good thing. Is to force all the board members to have some reports before yours. Then
I think it's great because everybody's involved. Everybody knows what I did. There's no question. Well, I mean, we're going to go out again today and look, but I think basically I'm gearing up to shut down some cabins and start working. I mean, it's fall. It's time to start cutting some brush.
Oh, and we're going to burn the slash pile.
We're going to burn the slash pile, I think, next week.
Next week is our plan.
Yeah. I think, you know, the weather's changing. It's a good time to get on cutting some brush and work on, I think Johnson, have they started seeding at all? I know they got the drill out here, but...
Well, not that they are up here. Out here they are. They've had that disc, and they've disced some
areas. And they've disced the Broad Hollow area.
Oh, have they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They have really kind of gotten a jump start on it, just because they don't know when the first snow is going to fly. It's cold enough, but
snowed the other day at my place.
It. Their plan is to be done in a month, so I think it's great. Couple issues I have. The ranch truck needs tires on the front, just two front tires.
Amen.
It's kind of another one of those expenses that I'm not going to do on my own. I want to for approval on that.
There's it's in the budget. I left down there. Well, in my analysis, I put $9,000 in, but I figured we need in miscellaneous maintenance of equipment and stuff. So,
okay. As far as equipment goes,
front tire should.
A couple lights, a couple pins, a couple bolts. I shouldn't exceed that. That should be pretty good. Speaking of equipment,
new cutting edges.
New cutting edges on the grader. Hopefully we put that to use. Start smoothing some roads out. The total on that was $470.92. Alan delivered that from Colorado, or Cedar City, rather. The Kubota, other than lights and pins, shouldn't need a whole lot. There was a question about the temperature gauge, which I'm going to look at it this week, probably Monday, and make a conservative effort to get that fixed. But other than that, I got all the hydraulic leaks fixed. Everything's working, the brush off, the seal's done. You know, Dale was saying something, how did the ranch do it without equipment? You know, the ranch has two great pieces of equipment that have been neglected for years. I don't know how long the ranch has had it. But when I got here, horrible neglect on that equipment. I've ran equipment my whole life, and you wouldn't dare treat your equipment that way because it's not going to make you money if it's down. So I think putting a little bit of money and effort into it, we should be able to use it for a long time. Another question I had is the lock for the gate. We really didn't come up to an agreement on that. As far as put the lock on for the week or for the hunt. But we've already had hunters down here.
When is the week of the hunt?
Next Saturday.
Tell me just on who is encouraging or requiring a lock on it for the hunt? Is there anybody adamantly pushing?
Well, Mike Andrew and Mary Sharper don't like the fact that their hunters come in. They come here every fall and every spring and spend 4 to 6 weeks.
There's a lot of members that would like to have that on there.
Are people hunting on the ranch?
I haven't seen them,
the private
on their scouting.
I know they come in and they steal my picnic table and things right now.
Yeah, well, they...
Fred Searles gas.
Fred Searles had quite a few problems.
The security issue. Another issue is there's a gentleman who paid quite a considerable amount of money to hunt on the ranch.
Right.
And for him to be able to hunt...
And that's
there,
where I didn't know what Larry's... if he's really encouraging, you know, I mean, that's right now our current agreement with the Forest Service related issues that we would not lock it except for during the hunt. So if we need to lock it during the hunt, just as
quick. And I don't mind them locking down on that road where we come in at that time. As long as we have a heat again, that would be a problem.
You know what? I have keys. The old lock should be on there, plus the new lock.
Well, we never had a key.
I think it's a communication issue. If you need a key, most people know that during the hunt, that gate is locked, so don't come down from the top of the mountain. I don't know if there's the newsletter, I don't know if it's going out today or not.
It won't go out until the first week.
Okay. You know, an article in the newspaper.
I have people call me on the ranch phone, and is that gate locked up there? Because we're going to be coming down from the top. I mean, right. Most people ask, I want to know.
I mean, my job is to protect the membership. They want to feel safe. I mean, it's, you know, when you think gas is stolen, picnic benches are stolen, there's, you know, rifles going off.
Seems like, well, but here's my point. All that stuff has happened before now,
right.
And the lock has always been locked before now.
Well,
so it's still...
That gate down there was locked. The only time it was ever locked was when... Oh, what's the girl that used to ride a bike all the time? Diane. She's the only one that ever locked that gate. We never had a key. Couldn't get in. But that's the only time it was ever locked.
I mean,
the gate's been open over there.
You know, a lot of things have happened over the years from what I understand.
Right.
You know, if we make a stand, hey, you know what? You're not coming through here come hunt season. Private property.
We probably also need to put a sign way early, too.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Right here at the top of the airstrip has that little bar.
Yeah.
If we're going to lock the DSR gate from the forest, we need to lock that gate with a sign right there that says, go to check-in at the ranch if you want to get through here. So that members who have a key can get through and get into the ranch.
Yeah.
But if not, people don't drive 6 miles up through there and then hit a locked gate. That's when they're going to go cut and fence.
Right.
So
to at least cut the, you know, to lock those two, and you can still get in Podunk and come across Brent's Road. You can still get up through.
Right.
Those are two of the main ones that if we're going to do that from the opening morning through the closing day,
right.
That's I would not recommend doing going beyond that.
It's here in hunting season. I mean, you get guys on here with high-powered rifles and ATVs and alcohol.
That's not a good mix.
Nobody should want that on their ranch.
Yeah.
I'm just here to protect the membership.
Has it been locked the last 10 years? Every year, the last 10 years?
I don't know about the last 10 years, but I do know that for the last, this is my eighth winter here, and we've locked every winter, but every hunting season since I've been here.
Let's try it 1 year without locking it and find out that it's no more of a problem than it was the other way.
That's when they stole my picnic table.
I don't care either way.
I don't know what the solution. Well, I already told you what the solution is. The solution is security cameras and going after the violators, not punishing everybody. So I brought mine up today since we still can't get the board to approve spending their money. And so I'll put one up and see so that if we do have problems this year, we will at least have some evidence and see how it goes. But I think until we have put some money in and have, you know, like 8 cameras around the ranch at every entrance and every exit, and if something's, and let the members know, if you have gas and picnic table stolen, report it so we know as close as we can at time, and we're going to know on those cameras, somebody came in one of those entrances and left you one of those exits with your picnic table in the back of the truck, and then we go after the people and we prosecute.
Right.
And I think that, you know, that for...
Is that motion activation?
Yeah.
So for right now, you're going to do that. We're going to lock the gate.
Right. If we'll do the top and the bottom. So we need to have some kind of a sign, even if it's cardboard thing, that's saying gate locked at here and ahead, check in the ranch headquarters.
Well, that's why.
I mean, it's people like you that they don't come down here. We just go straight that way. You don't have a problem coming in and getting a key. You know, we'd have to have some serious signage made up saying, hey, you know, this gate's locked during hunting season if you want to come.
Well, it says dead end, right? It's the thing that people go out there anyway.
The people that are...
Slides never been locked, right?
Yeah, I have. Only when
Diane did it. When we had at least two American Outfitters, they locked every way that you entered the ranch.
Man, I like the fact of the upper gate being locked, but this lower gate, I'm not sure. May I see the point?
What if it's not locked, but there's just a sign there that says locked gate ahead?
Well, there you go.
I think it's got to be closed so that people see that. Again, at times we've driven a T-post right in the middle of the road, so you had to drive with a sign on it. And then we remove it after a week or so. But there's no one, somebody can't say, oh, I didn't see it. Because even a sign off the side of the road, if they don't have to stop, get out and open the gate, or see something right dead in the middle of the road when they're going through after dark and it went in their headlight.
Well, if you have kind of a sawhorse thing that you set out there, locked gate ahead, private property, do not go through.
Right there at Phil Hall, where Phil Hall parked his truck, where you could drive around it so people could go down. But if you had a couple of sawhorses.
Yeah. I like the idea of those great big barriers like they have at all the embassies where you have to do this.
I was thinking of taking that trailer and parking it out there and, you know, hey, security checkpoint. You're not a member. What are you doing driving through here? I mean, just stay out there for a couple of weeks. I don't know. So.
You're subject to scripture.
Something else kind of on my list is business cards. I get people out here all the time. They want to know, I don't have any of your business cards. I don't have any of your business cards, and I'd like to have some business cards myself made up. People want to know about the ranch. People want to know if they can come back out. They want to know. I'm a people person. I'll talk to anybody.
What is following your name? Who makes so much?
I'm really kind of tired of writing my name.
No, you usually have some that has the ranch website on it, contact emergency information or whatever. So
why don't you go ahead and do that?
I would
like to set.
Can we get regular approval for, to do that?
Yeah.
I think that it's not that expensive. I think that by next
I'd like
year...
I'd kind of look at the, what you have mocked up.
Yeah, I'd have it looked at. I think we may still do some different things on some phone numbers and stuff before we're too long, so I wouldn't get a box of 5,000 or something. But
I'll write something up and I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
And I know this is kind of a project for the future, but over there at that Kanab, Colton is a playset. And I've been kind of looking at this playset here, and everybody that comes out here with kids, it's the first place they go, which is great. But I'm looking at the quality of the playset out there. And
how much is it, did you ask them?
It's the one that's sitting there, $1,600.
$1,600.
Now, if you go to Costco and you see the wood one, that's $900 plus tax. You're looking at $1,000. The one that's over at Kanab Cold is steel posts.
Heavy duty.
Just something to put down on the docket for the future.
Well, and I'd like to just ask everybody if they would start submitting your budget ideas and your project ideas for next year so that we can try to match them together. And because on our next meeting we're going to need to have a little bit of a draft budget exercise.
Okay.
Other than that, I mean, this next couple of weeks I'll be closing down the upper cabins and probably working on some fence and brush hogging.
Burning?
Huh?
Burning.
We're going to have Burning Man by day.
Just a fire bug over here.
Fire is our friend as long as it's not your property burning.
If I thought on this, playground that you mentioned and then the coordinate volunteer efforts for on county maintenance, I think there's a lot of members that, like for instance, that have tongues that they can donate to the ranch, you know, that can donate the supplies to do that, or maybe even an old sweep that they've got in their yard or whatever. But and not necessarily that we want an old one, but I'm thinking there's people on the ranch that can do that are members that will do.
Or may want to help donate.
Or help donate, or yeah.
Hey, no problem. So, I just see what's out there, and I don't know how long that's been out there.
No, I know.
It served a good purpose.
Well, again, if we get to the budget and we get to the projects, we can start say, here's the projects, here's our priorities, how can anybody help?
Right.
We need a project list and priority.
Okay, we got to move ahead. We've got
we actually are supposed to be on the meeting with somebody in 20 minutes.
30 seconds. The burn pit, the slash pile, there's no more pile in their slash. I've cut brush hogged a trail to one of the ditches.
Erosion controls.
It will also be in the newsletter, hopefully, this next newsletter. But I kind of want to tell the membership to refrain from dumping their stuff right there. We were trying to clean it up.
Do you have a GPS?
I do.
I think one thing we need to start doing is just using simple GPS coordinates so we can put on the newsletter. The trash pit is this GPS coordinate, and anybody can find it.
Right.
Well, Paul and I talked, and I think we would rather have people talk to him.
Well, that's true.
Because we don't want
trash.
Yeah.
We want natural products on our
property and just dump stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So he's going to put something like that in the newsletter.
Okay. Is everybody here, board members, able to go for our tour?
I can't. I'm going to have to. I've got to go as soon as we're done with the meeting. So.
Now, that's what I was going to try to push Dale's metal restoration body and just talk about it on site, but if they're not going to be here, then we need to talk about it now.
Yeah.
Okay, then Dale, do you want to give us the metal restoration project short version, and we'll talk about as much as we need to or can up there, but Brent is not going to be able to go with us, so at least
Brent knows what's up there anyway.
Yeah.
We're taking there's nearly 40 acres on the north end of that has been in brush and willows, almost unusable, that we cleared off last year. The Johnsons have committed to chisel, plow, and disc, and plant that upper end, which would be a great thing. There's other places over on the west side where we pushed willows 30 years ago, and the dirt piles are still there. And then we pushed last fall willows that we've been burning, and there are dirt piles. There's an erosion ditch that I've asked the board, or would ask the board, that they set aside some money for Clark Lamb, the bulldozer lamb, to come in and level some of those areas. It's quick and easy, and fill the erosion area and get rid of all these piles of dirt. Brent, you've been working on some, but there's still 100 of them down that west side, and he can come in with that bigger machine and fill the washes and fix that up. The other thing would be to build a channel. If any of you know where the Bear Pond is, so that the water that comes out of that canyon goes on a channel all the way to the Red Reservoir. They surveyed that. The water will drain out across through there. We get the water out of the Bear Spring area, Crawford, Meadow Canyon, and Pipeline would all go in the Red Reservoir, which I think could maintain a year-round lake at that point. Also, while he's in here with the machinery, to deepen and clean some areas on the Red Reservoir, raise the dike about 3 or 4 feet, and do some other things there. Part of it is cosmetic, part of it is actually making a... I think we're going to nearly double the size of the grazing area on the wet meadow by doing the things that we're doing. Johnson's are doing part of it as part of their agreement with us, and Clark Lamb would be a contractor to do those things. Larry and I have spent several thousand dollars in there cleaning, burning, brush hogging, and getting the thing cleaned up. I'd like to suggest that Paul be authorized to do certain areas that we would like to have the brush taken off of. And so the whole thing is just kind of a general cleanup of that area. We also, I paid $3,000 for Norris Church to come in with a shredder, and he ate a lot of the brush and trees and things, cleaned up around the old family cabin. And the whole area is beginning to kind of look alive and decent, but there's still, you know, if we get a little bit more brush off and get this area planted, I think everyone will be delighted with the improvements up there. And we'll talk about that on this trip. So I don't know that there's anything else to say other than if the board wants to approve an expenditure. We don't know right now how much, because we're supposed to meet Clark Lamb up there in 15 minutes. Next to out of donated labor and contract labor, we're making a big impact on the area. So Brent, you have a question?
So you already answered it about the cost. You know, and I guess Clark can give you a better idea once you guys are up there looking at it. So, yeah, that's all the only question I have. And I greatly appreciate the work you guys are doing up there. It looks great. I think it's greatly improved.
I appreciate what you've done and others.
Time and money, yes.
I would say, though, we need to probably approve somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe $7,000 available to do that if it can fit in the budget, which I think it can.
By the end of the year,
based on my analysis here for those activities. And so I'd make a motion that we at least authorize that expenditure as needed.
I'll second that.
Okay, a little discussion. We also looked this morning, we've got a field down below here that we cannot get equipment in and out of. In fact, both areas, Dirk and I looked at building our room so we can take a pickup while the cat is in here.
Across the wash, the dugway that goes down, is the far side washed out or this side?
Well,
both
either side.
Just to widen them and maintain them.
And so you can take an ATV out here to the west. There's a horse trail. We don't have any horses. But those two things could be done with Clark unloading here and maybe even cover these two canyons of garbage dump here on each side of the road.
They shot right about 7,500.
I agree with that. I mean, you can take an ATV and probably take a pickup, but you can't take equipment. I'd love to take a brush hogger out there. Brush all that sagebrush so that
this just has not been maintained for long enough. We've got to get it so that we can access those properties.
That one can get accessed around the backside, but it'd be nice to just access it from right here.
So I amend my motion to $7,500 to cover, those.
The extra cost.
Then I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, let's go and look at it and see. Again, just for those that. Well, and Brent knows this, any other video or not on the recording. The main issue in the top end of the meadow is we've talked for years, and we actually met with Forest Service with Carl Gillette years ago, trying to divert the water that was supposed to go, that falls on the Forest Service to get into the Red Reservoir instead of flooding down through Meadow Canyon. What they're talking in this new diversion would then be on our private property, stop worrying about or fighting with or asking permission of the Forest Service and building this on our private property where we can maintain it and control it and still get all that water into the Red Reservoir instead of flooding down and eroding out the meadow.
It all goes downhill, no matter how we contain it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
You need to make a motion to adjourn.
Well, we have two other things we've got to do. So first, we will discuss vacancy of the board seat. Again, there's been some discussion as far as the bylaws and stuff. Really, the bylaws are not clear at all. I mean, there is no process. It's up to the existing board. So now we have five of the seven. John Harris is the only one that is not here and able to participate. But to fill the vacancy of Dave Sills, which Dave was not up for election, so this would be to fill his position until next election, to discuss nominations. At times we talk about those that were did get some votes and were nominated on the board but were not the high vote getters.
Right.
I think the next ones were David Turley and Dustin Hollis. I'm not sure off the top of my name. Which was there anybody else other than those two that got numbers of votes that agreed to? Those were the only two that agreed to.
But that's not really the basis of us making a decision. In any case, I think we need to look right now and say who could help with the holes that we need filled.
Well, we need somebody that can participate. And be here at a meeting. That's where at times, and it's happened this last year, different times, where those that, again, there's been a lot of good people that live outside of the Deer Springs Ranch or the Kanab area to serve on the board, but it is at a sacrifice and it's very difficult for them to be there. And we've tried with telecommunication to make it work, but the effectiveness when they are on there and the times that they can come and actually be here and make decisions make it difficult. So I don't want to discourage anybody, but I think they've got to understand it's on their responsibility, their dime, and their sacrifice to participate and be effective. If not, then no matter how much talent they have, if they're not here, they're of no value to the association.
I'd like to maybe make a recommendation.
Yeah.
Dave Turley has said that he would come to the meetings. He also, we just went and looked this morning, has brought down a lot of materials for building pavilions, which is something I think we desperately need. And I think we could probably get a lot of support out of him to help us with those kind of things as a board member.
So are you nominating David Turley for the board?
I would, yes, like to at least nominate him. I don't know if there are some other suggestions, but I think he would benefit us. I kept trying to think who
There's been other nominations, but they've turned them down. Not been able or willing at this time.
At the back of it was Greg Halp, but last time I talked to him, he...
Yeah, he was nominated again just before the annual meeting and declined.
He said that he didn't want to. I wish we could get him to reconsider. But I did, just kind of looking at the materials and the amount of things that Davis brought down this morning, I thought, well, that's...
Well, he is in the process right now of rebuilding the dock on the middle fish pond again and a lot of things that he does.
I think he put all the metal roofs on all these cabins.
He has. My only, and I have, and Dirk and I have discussed this already, I just don't, you know, we're only a month off from the annual meeting, and the, you know, Dustin got more votes than Dave. I don't know if that's going to cause ramifications with the membership or not. It doesn't, but that's, like Dirk says, that's really not necessarily the point of filling the position. Anyway, it's just one other thing I want to throw out, you know.
Well, again, if anybody here feels strongly wants to nominate Dustin Hollis, then they can nominate him. Again, the process is back. I mean, now that everybody is on the same page and knows what's there, and you know, whether you personally know Dustin Hollis or you know David Turley or you need other questions or information, we can discuss that. We've got a nomination of David Turley. If anybody else wants to make a nomination... Anybody else?
Well, just by point of procedure, I'll nominate Dustin.
Okay.
Just so he's...
So we have two people officially nominated who did receive the next two highest vote getters at the annual meeting. Any other nominations?
Nominations cease.
Okay. Nominations have ceased.
I'll second it.
Okay.
Okay. So our first nomination was Davey Turley. Do we secret ballot it, or do
we
vote?
Yeah, write it and turn.
With those two nominations, let's just everybody write down and turn in a name of who they want, and we'll count the votes. So,
yeah, let's use all use the same. So I'll use the same paper.
I was going to get Dirk a big yellow.
Okay. Linda, would you please count those while we go really quick? Well, our next next item of business, maybe we should get the name of that and so we can announce it, because our next thing, we need a motion to go into executive session and dismiss anyone that is not on the board of directors and go into executive session.
And that means nothing else. So are we going to...
And then we'll leave on the...
Oh, so, okay. All right. As soon as we...
I have to partake in this tour.
What's that?
Do I have to partake in this tour?
In the tour? Yeah, I think that you need to.
Yeah.
All in the same
and
car.
And take notes, because you'll have to, you know,
Q&A.
Okay, so before we do that, Sean has handed me this, the outcome, or
not Linda.
Linda Alderman, sorry. The vote was four votes for David Turley and one vote for Dustin Hollis. So she circled David Turley will be the next board member if he accepts that. Again, both of that is up to him. So
have you talked to him?
No one says, yeah, I don't think anybody talked to either of them since the annual meeting. So we're assuming they're both still willing if they were voted. So
right.
We will talk with David Turley. And beyond that, if he's not willing to vote, we'll revisit at next board meeting. Hopefully he will be here if he accepts next board meeting to get on with budgeting. Okay. Do we have a motion to go into executive session?
I make a motion that we go into executive session.
Second. To discuss past due fees and county roads. As on the agenda. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?